I'm your host, Charlotte Green. Welcome back to The Weed. Yes, we're really live. Yes, I promised to stop singing, and no, I haven't stopped. Let's start things off with a roll call. Comment letting us know where you're watching from, what you're smoking on. This is another mystery joint. There is a lot of weed everywhere here, so that just happens. But let us know what you're smoking on. Today, in Pod Topics, gold medalist potheads, the VA admits cannabis can help veterans, and the 10 cities that consume the most marijuana every year. Let's get into it. Let's get to commenting. I see slowly but surely everyone's coming online. Maybe I'll stop, let everything settle in, give you guys a second to tune in. I know you're probably at work right now. Work ain't this, not for you. So let me blow another puff your way. Live vicariously through me. Because I do get paid to do this. Yum, right? We have Sharon joining us. Kendall Fleming says, sing, Charlo, sing. Don't tell me that, Kendall. Oh, I love you guys out in D.C. too, Daryl. He says, don't stop singing. We love you in D.C. I love my people. Oh, are there holes in my shirt? You guys are getting cute now. Let's go ahead and get into today's show. Hey, Anthony. Hey, Zoe. Loving the vibe so far. Invite a friend. Share the post. Let's get it going. Welcome back to The Weed with Charlotte Green. Today, we continue our Paradiso swag bag giveaway with a bunch of legal, emphasis on the legal, weedy goodies. If you can make it to California and you're one of the winners, you'll definitely get some weed. We got plenty to go around here. So you just gotta make it, because I'm not trying to catch another case. This is not happening. So we're continuing the Paradiso swag bag giveaway. To win, you gotta follow paradiso.gardens on Instagram. Comment on any post. Let them know Charlo sent you. You got to share this, and then, of course, follow us. The main page that The Weed Show with Charlo Green is broadcast from is The Weed Show with Charlo Green. So make sure that you're following us. Make sure that you're sharing. And make sure that you are active and involved in the conversation. Congratulations to Aaliyah R. She takes last week's gift bag and gets a little taste of Paradiso. Now you guys make sure you don't miss any of what we have happening here. Subscribe to The Weed newsletter at theweed.tv, The Weed podcast on iTunes, and you can of course watch on this Facebook page. Now let's get into today's dank of the day. There's that noise. Let's see where we have people checking in. We have California in the building, DC in the building, Rocky and other regulars checking in. Much appreciated, guys. Paradiso Gardens, you've got the idea, Sharon. So today's dank of the day is actually brought to you by Paradiso. Find them at paradiso.gardens on Instagram, and Koreatown Collective. You can find them right off Melrose in Los Angeles. From Paradiso, we have Cherry OG. According to Leafly, Cherry OG is a 50-50 hybrid that brings you the best of both sativa and indica worlds, as it delivers full body euphoria alongside high flying cerebral lucidity. Whoever is getting paid to write at Leafly needs a raise, because that was beautiful. That's just really beautiful. Another from Paradiso is Boss OG. You know how we do. The strain is a sativa indica hybrid that emits telltale OG aromas of lemon, lime, and fuel. And it offers consumers happy, relaxing effects. Now, Paradiso, the lights are really bright in here, so it's like you either see my face or I am Michael Blackson and you can see this box. But Paradiso invites you to stop, smell the flower, and enjoy paradise in a puff with Paradiso. Find them at paradiso.gardens. And then from K-Town Collective, my favorite dispensary in town, we have Kimchi OG. All but says kimchi is a sativa indica hybrid, so full house of hybrids today, that gives us a scent that's very fruity, but also woody and dank, while the taste is sweet and fruity as well as smooth. K-Town is now open for retail sales, so you don't need a medical card. You just need to scroll on down to Melrose and stock up on what it is that you need to get right. So, we got Cherry OG, Boss OG, and Kimchi OG. Which one of these strains do you guys think we should go with? Today's dank of the day. It's on you. You decide. Well, if you guys speak up enough, if there's an overwhelming majority calling for one strain or another, we'll go ahead and announce it before the end of the show. Otherwise, I'll look through the comments later and get pretty toasted off your decision privately. I mean, if you guys don't want to know, then you don't want to know. But Cherry OG coming in. Appreciate that, Sharon. Now, you guys are commenting on today's dank of the day, and it's about time to get into today's pot topics. You guys been watching the Olympics? I didn't expect to get so into it, but it's always on, and they are always doing some incredible superhuman shit. But what if the figure skaters that moved me to tears last night were doing all of that on weed? Former gold medal Olympian Ross Rebolani, it's not how you pronounce it, he's speaking out against the cannabis crackdown in world sports. Back in 1998, he was stripped of his gold medal after officials found trace amounts of marijuana in his system. Since then, Ross has gone to do great things, founding Canadian medical marijuana company, Ross's Gold. Last September, the World Anti-Doping Agency took cannabidiol, or CBD, off its banned substance list, which means the International Olympic Committee no longer punishes Olympic athletes for consuming CBD. So, what does this mean for athletes? Did Shaun White win his gold high? Who knows? But I'm asking you, do you think cannabis can have a positive impact on sports? Is cannabis a performance-enhancing drug? It's an interesting question. I think the only real people to ask are actual athletes, so I'm not included in that. Barely do a power walk nowadays, but it works enough. UFC fighter Nate Diaz, I remember this, I'm sure you remember this, but he was warned by the USADA after puffing from a CBD oil pen after a fight. He told them and the rest of the world that the CBD helps with the healing process and inflammation. I say, if we can help our athletes become better after taking a few hits of a vape pen, I'm all for it. And the same sentiment is echoed by major athletes in just about all sports, because CBD and cannabis is just that effective. I mean, we see all the gains happening when it comes to NFL players and how they're fighting to be able to use CBD instead of the opiates that they can readily get whenever they are involved in one of those collisions, which if they're showing up to work, then it's a daily thing. So definitely steps forward that WADA is allowing CBD. I don't know if any of you guys saw that Netflix documentary. I think it was called like Icarus. You saw that? That shit's so crazy. It's all rigged anyway. So the fact that they're like, all right, we're not going to be stripping metals if you're consuming a plant, it steps forward. So we'll see if any of the people that take away the gold or the silver, I mean, this is the world stage, and I think we were watching like the thing where they lay on the thing and then just dive head first and hopefully don't break their necks. It was hundredths of a second that there was between the first place, second, and so that if one of them is consuming cannabis and comes out that much ahead, did it make the difference? We will be watching and definitely listening. Hopefully we have some more to share on that. Now, imagine the parent. You are the parent of a little boy or girl who unfortunately is living with a seizure disorder where your son or daughter seizes up to hundreds of times a day. That's exactly what Zachary of San Francisco is dealing with before his family discovers CBD oil. Now, remember, this is CBD, not THC. THC is the stuff that, you know, yellow lit. This is CBD. It's the not fun stuff. It's a non-psychoactive, meaning it doesn't get you high, compound in cannabis, and it's widely used for medical reasons, even in places like Texas and Georgia, where they have CBD-only laws. That's how accepted this is. So, after trying CBD oil in California, Zachary's brainwaves returned to normal and he stopped seizing completely. It's a modern medical miracle, if you ask me, or anyone else that has seen what the lives of these children that are living with these severe seizure disorders is like. So now, there's a battle in San Francisco court where they're trying to take away the CBD oil from children like Zachary. This comes after a ruling that determined all cannabis extracts, including CBD, are controlled substances and are illicit. So naturally, we're fighting back. The hemp industries filed a lawsuit against the ruling, saying that law enforcement is using this law to attack lawful businesses and hurt children like Zachary, who use medicinally sourced cannabis. Now, obviously, I side with Zachary and the hemp industry's lawsuit, and I hope things can be figured out before people lose the medicine they use on a daily basis to, like, for some people, it increases the quality of life. For other people, like a lot of these kids that are constantly seizing, it gives them back their life. So hopefully all of this will be figured out before it hurts anyone. It is such crap. I agree. Just walked in and saw it on, yep, the show is definitely live. Not a fun story to share. This next one's not a super fun story to share, but it is kind of interesting. Maybe it is a little funny. I don't know. You guys be the judge. So after a Denver Police Union president tried to link rising opioids to immigration, Colorado police officers are suggesting something even more ridiculous. Longmont police officer Sean Harper, remember that name, he says that the legalization of marijuana has allowed opioid dealers to legally grow weed in the U.S. and make money that they use to smuggle heroin and other opioids into the U.S. He's also saying that now that weed is legal in some areas, drug dealers are being forced to traffic in harder drugs to make ends meet. And that is his argument against cannabis legalization. Seriously. He said he believes that marijuana was, quote, their bread and butter, that they were bringing marijuana up from the border and then throughout the country, end quote. But now, they got to sell that black tar because of weed legalization. Sounds conspiracy theorish, right? Sounds like old Officer Sean has been dabbing a little too hard. Only there's no way he's deep enough to actually dab. The idea that marijuana is a gateway drug died in the 90s with the frosted tips and the NSYNC. Bye, bye, bye. Yes, that is over. Unfortunately, this is just another situation where law enforcement is trying to lump cannabis together with much more deadly and disruptive drugs. Now, tying marijuana with illegal immigration and opioid use is just another tactic law enforcement has used for decades to make the public think cannabis is worse than it actually is, and to try and demonize people of color. It's a systematic issue that convinces a lot of the public into thinking cannabis is as bad or worse than heroin, and that black and brown people are the reason that the streets are ravaged with this dangerous drug. It's one of the reasons that cannabis is still listed as a Schedule 1 narcotic and why we have to fight to re or declassify. Let me know what you think. You have any thoughts on whether or not your friends or family know all the facts when it comes to cannabis? Do you have to interact with weed haters on the day? Is that a regular thing for you guys? I don't know. But I love to find out down in the comments section, you know? Let's get the comments going. Anything to make cannabis look bad, that is exactly what it sounds like. Hey, Kianda! Shout out to one of my besties watching from the cold, cold north. What is it that they call it on my favorite show I can never remember the name of? It's like Dungeons and Dragons, but humans. Kush Lisi. Game of Thrones. The place above the wall? Is it north of the wall? That's Alaska. You hold strong up there, girl. Hold strong. Whenever you're ready to visit, come on through. Now, on to some more positive news. Well, that wasn't really positive. That was just like, come on, guys. Do better. The VA is apparently trying to do better. Last year, a letter was sent by VA or Veterans Affairs Secretary David Shulkin to Democrats who were lobbying for medical marijuana use for veterans. The letter assured people that cannabis was illegal and they couldn't test its effects on veterans. So it was just like, no. Well, a new development has popped up on the VA website recently that may have contradicted what good old David Shulkin said last year. Now, although no law has changed, the VA website has, and it now includes a passage that says, quote, it can look at marijuana as an option for treating veterans, and that they've, quote, found limited evidence that marijuana use might alleviate neuropathic pain in some patients, and that it might reduce spasticity associated with multiple sclerosis, end quote. Now this, if nothing, is a step in the right direction for allowing veterans to get the right type of care that they need. Veterans face physical, mental, and psychological pain after returning from serving our country, from serving us. And it's a crime they can't get whatever medical service that they need for themselves. So the webpage on the VA site says the VA is not currently able to prescribe medical marijuana to veterans, but it continues that it can look at marijuana as an option for treating veterans. So the VA can't prescribe medical marijuana, but it can recommend it. It's an interesting stance from a government organization that contradicts the secretary in charge of its own website. But I would consider this progress, seeing as just last year, the VA blocked a well-respected doctor from just speaking at a VA facility about CBD. That was crazy. So, no law has changed. The VA seems to be hearing the pleas of the advocates and everyday people that need help. Oh no, I'm not gonna get emotional. Not doing that today. But when I was working as a reporter, I hated having to cover how our nation does our veterans. It's disgraceful. It's disgusting to put people out in a place where they're risking their lives for our freedoms and then turn your back on them when they get home. I'm going to spark up. So the fact that the people that are fighting to get back to the place that they were at before they risked their lives for us. And the VA is actually hearing it. That means a lot to me. Did not expect to get emotional on that one. But I need it. It really sucks. A lot of things suck about being a reporter. Like, your job is to go and find horrible situations and exploit them. And you see a lot of really shitty things, so. We're gonna move to a lighter story before I ruin my makeup. More singing! Hey! So, USA. USA Today just published an article listing the 10 shit. I don't know what it is lately. I can't like have one cocktail without being like, oh my gosh, wow. And I can like barely get through a joint. Just last week, I was smoking 4 gram blunts to the face right here. This is getting old, y'all. Whew. Enjoy these last few years you have. If you haven't hit 30, know that right before you get there, it's all downhill. Speaking from experience, enough of that. USA Today has published an article listing the 10 major worldwide cities that consume the most marijuana every year. Now, before I read the list out loud, I am interested in seeing if you guys can guess some of the cities on the list. Now, there are definitely some obvious ones. Yeah, that means go ahead and comment now. Guess the cities. Go ahead and guess the cities. Yes, so there are definitely some obvious ones and some ones that surprised even me. This comes at the heels of the industry growing upwards of 35% per year. That's huge. And a large majority of the U.S. in favor of legalizing marijuana. It just makes sense. So let's take a look at some of the cities you think landed on the list. So LA, dot, dot, dot. Sharon, I think you might be right about that one. I can't remember I've seen the list. I honestly can't remember it. I told you guys. I'm a lightweight now. What the fuck happened? It's because we stopped smoking backwoods, which means that we just don't smoke as much of it. And it's just, I gotta smoke more weed. So we've got LA on the list. We've got Miami, Eugene, Oregon. I love me some Oregon. Yes, every time Oregon comes up, I say that. It's a wonderful place. Miami. Not a fan of Miami. I used to love Miami. The weed there, I don't really know if it made like an impression on me, but I did love all of the beaches and stuff. I just hated the fact that whenever I would like hit the beach, all the work I did, like putting my public face on and like snatching my wig, it would just immediately dissipate because it's humid as hot breath. Like, it's like someone's doing that right on your neck the entire time you're there. So, not a big fan of that. Once I got to Cali, it was like, what? Hey? And we're doing the weed show from Cali. So yeah, that's my thoughts on Miami. Seattle, Denver, that definitely makes sense. Let's see. What is on the list? This list is for the cities that consume the most marijuana by metric ton. Coming in at number 10 with 22.75 metric tons is Toronto. Another place that I really, really love. They won't let me back. Not yet. I didn't do anything to deserve that. That's just, you know, how life goes sometimes. So, Toronto, I always tell you, if you want to invest in cannabis, you gotta head up north where weed is federally legal and it's just growing like crazy. crazy. Yesterday, we reported that mostly in investments, cannabis has already brought in $1.27 or $1.23 billion with a B dollars, which is right around the number brought in all of 2017. And we're 6 weeks into the year. That's crazy. Number nine is Moscow. I don't know if I'll ever be trying the weed there, but I would love. I don't even know if I'd want to risk anyone's safety having them Skype in and smoke with us from Moscow. But we are doing the Skype into the show thing, so we'll have a lot of international guests, a lot of really fun stuff, a lot of people on this list or areas on this list checking in. Number eight, our first U.S. city on the list, Chicago. Seven is London. I think I've been there. I don't know. That was Ireland, and that place is the shit. Six is Mumbai. That one, does it surprise me? No. Five is Cairo. Three is Los Angeles. Thought we'd be a little higher on the list. I don't know. Four is Los Angeles. Three is New Delhi. And two is Karachi in Pakistan. That Afghan dish? No, that's probably really offensive. One is New York City. I can see that too. Let me know what you think of the list. Did some of those cities surprise you? Did you know them all? Do you happen to live in one of those cities? Tell me what the culture is like in the comments below when we're talking about the, don't play the audio on this. When we're talking about the weediest cities, is it that weedy? I'll tell you, when you get to LA, it's pretty weedy. We have some weed billboards up. There are hundreds of dispensaries. Yes, I'm in a bubble. So I know most of you aren't living in California where it's just like this robust place, so please forgive me for not remembering that and factoring that in, but it's definitely weedy here in California, and I love it. Whenever I have to fly out, I forget that you can't just be like openly getting high wherever you need to, and that is a problem. So yeah, let us know. What is it like in your hood? And we are going to go ahead and get into what's in your weed? So, we got a batch of new products tested from Oz in West Hollywood, one of the first stores in Southern California to start selling recreational weed. We thought it'd be cool to see what kind of cannabis Netflix, the state of California, were endorsing, and we were surprised. Not really, because I do this show, and if you watch the show, you know, whenever we're what's in your weeding, 90% of the time, it's like a Maury shocker. It's like a, wait a minute, you ain't the daddy. Fun stuff. Psych. So back to what's in your weed. We revealed the results for the Netflix strain Eve's Bush and found that it came in at 19% THC. No pesticides, but the scientists at Farm Labs, our amazing lab partner in San Diego and apparently Long Beach, found 10 CFUs of aspergillus. Reading is essential. I'm working on it. But that's a fungus, and it is a carcinogenic fungus. So that is a no-no in the state of California. You can't come in at anything above zero when it comes to microbials. And it also showed that they knew that there was fungus in it because they tried to, or may have tried to, like heat up enough of the cannabis to change the THCA levels. It's a whole thing. We'll have a whole conversation with the people that do this for a living and have like PhDs and are really smart. Much smarter than me. So is this the case with Netflix's Banana Stand Kush that they're selling at Oz? The results came in. We let you know that there were no pesticides, no residual solvents, and no microbials, and that it, in fact, passed the test. So, as stated, we'll be chatting with Farm Labs to get a better understanding of what all of these weed results mean for you, the consumer. But only after we reveal what else is in the weed. Dr. Dina is selling at her shop in West Hollywood. So far, scientists have found carcinogenic fungus and dirty weed dressed up as the good stuff. But will that be the case with Dina's house strain, Banana Nana? Spoiler alert, it doesn't pass the what's in your weed test. It doesn't. But, yeah, I don't know if there's a but. But we'll get into the details tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow. We'll see. So, let's see what you guys have got to say. All the comments are not out of order. That's too bad because I really wanted to hang out, you know, get a little toasty. But tomorrow we have another day of pot topics. You guys make sure to message us, email us, any questions that you have for us to ask or answer or have answered for you. We'll see you live here tomorrow at noon. Till then, peace.